and the leadership team having us an opportunity to speak today. As you see, I don't have a Norfolk accent. Kind of lost that over the years. I've actually spent 22 years in England. Are we up and running?
Yeah.
Voila. Let's give the tech guy a round of applause, you know. The unsung hero. He's so happy. He's like, they're clapping for me. But it's just great to be here. And let's just jump into the text. Got a lot to cover today. I appreciate the warm welcome. Put Norwich in your prayers. Probably some of you don't even know where Norwich is. It does come up on the weather map, though. Every time when the weather map comes up, there's always Norwich there. I'm really, really encouraged about that. But in Matthew 20, we're going to jump right into the text. And I heard you've been doing a series on Matthew. You've been having a good time with that? Okay, I like participation, you know. I like a little bit of give and take, you know. Just to make sure you're there.
Amen.
And it helps with my insecurities too. In Matthew 20 and verse 1, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard." So it's very important when we get into this text, it's all about the what? The kingdom of God. Let's try that again. It's all about the what?
The
kingdom of God. We're getting there. We're warming up. By the end, you know, by the end of, actually a couple of weeks ago, I actually had the whole East singing, "We'll Never Walk Alone."
Wow.
Remember that old football, Liverpool thing? They were singing. I actually had a brother come up. I forgot the words. He came up and led it, and everyone was just singing along. It was kind of fun. No football chants today, though. It's not in the text. Unless the Spirit grabs hold of me, you never know. So this text is all about the what? Thank you, honey. This text is all about the what? The kingdom of God, that's right. We've got to remember that. So sometimes we get lost in the text and we forget what the parable is all about.
That's right.
It says in verse 3, "About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked, 'Why have you been standing around here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received the denarius. So when those came who were first hired first, they expected to receive more." It's kind of interesting. "But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble." That's not a good thing, is it? "Against the landowner, 'These men who were hired last worked only an hour. They said, and they have made, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.'" And that's really what our title is called today, "In the Heat of the Day." You must be wondering where that came from. It's in the text. I'm trying to keep biblical, you know.
Where did it come from? It's in the text.
I like to talk to myself. I know. I've been getting therapy. Only prayer and fasting will bring this one out. "But he answered, one of them, 'Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you? Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. And, oh, here, there you go. It works. And I did a little comparison here. I'm going to move through the text real quick. Okay? Because there's obviously an analogy between the kingdom and the vineyard. Okay? There you go. Bam! And we see all the analogies there. So the owner is God. God goes out several times to get workers into his vineyard. Even up to the 11th hour, God will go out to save people. Then you got to ask yourself, how resolute are we when it comes to saving souls? Will we go out on the 11th hour when your dog tired? Are you willing to do that? Or is it past your bedtime at like 8 o'clock? Can't do it tonight, I'm tired. That is not the Spirit of God. Those who are standing around are the lost. People outside the vineyard are not doing the Lord's work. People outside the vineyard leave meaningless and purposeless lives. We've got to understand that no matter what you do, you may say, well, I'm an executive. I'm doing this. I have this qualification. Or I have all these credentials. That means nothing if you're outside the vineyard. Let me repeat that. It means nothing when you're outside the vineyard. That's hard for us because we get so much self-esteem from our accomplishments. If you are outside the kingdom of God, you are leading an ineffective, meaningless life. Did I get my point across? You want me to say it again? Oh, somebody said, yeah, I will. The denarius is the promise of salvation. Okay? How many baptized people do we have here? Okay, don't be reluctant in that one. A little bit more eagerness. There you go. When you got baptized, you received your denarius from God. And I don't know, I've never seen anybody come out of the waters of baptism sour-faced. Like, oh, it's wet, it's cold. When I see people come out of bed, they're like, yes, Jesus saved me. I've been washed of my sins. I've been forgiven. Is this loud? It sounds loud. Is it loud? No? All right, good. Good. It keeps you awake. So I've never seen anybody come out sad sack. Somebody been weaned on a gherkin. You know them sour gherkins? Jesus Lord. Now, are people excited? When you received your denarius, you were excited. And you saw the grace and mercy of God. The funny thing about it is, this parable is all about the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom, there is the heat of the day. There will be trials and tribulations in the kingdom. Some of us are here are deciding if they want to be in the kingdom or not. If you want to be baptized or not. Sometimes things don't really get any easier. Sometimes you have to bear the heat of the day in the kingdom of God. And some of us have been in London for 10, 15, 20 years, have felt the heat of the day. Can I get an amen, brothers and sisters? We've gone through it. But God didn't, in this parable, God didn't promise an easy ride. He didn't promise Disneyland. There will be heat. If you're around long enough, if you're working in the vineyard long enough, there will be heat. And that's the reason why a lot of people have fallen away. Because they couldn't stand the heat. They were fired up when they got their denarius, and then they started grumbling and complaining to God. And they left the vineyard. But I want to congratulate and commend everyone who's been in this church over the last 10 or 15 years and what you've gone through because you've stood the heat of the day. Give yourself a round of applause. Give yourself a round of applause. We can celebrate in Jesus. We should still be fired up about the denarius that we received. We should be fired up about that. It shouldn't tarnish after 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years. It should be as bright and as brilliant as the day we received it at the waters of baptism. My fire is not diminished. In 20 years, my denarius is still there. Hasn't depreciated. Actually, the older I get, the more I appreciate what God has done in my life. Is that your attitude? Is that your spirit? I think those who work longer in the vineyard are older Christians. Those that were hired in the first hour, in the third hour, in the fourth hour, in the fifth hour, were not those who've been that came in the vineyard at the 11th hour or the 8th hour. We've been in it for a while. We bore the heat of the day. I think I upset that child. It's kind of interesting in the text. When I was studying, I'm like, why did the vineyard owner pay those who were hired last? Think about that. Because if he didn't want attitudes, he would have paid the denarius to the older workers so they wouldn't be around to see what the... Then you kind of want to say, why would he do that? To check our motives. To check our hearts. I'll get on to that one in a little bit. I think those who were fired up about the denarius were the young ones, and the older ones were the ones that grumbled. As we get older in Christ, we can get a little bit grouchy and grumble. Well, things not that good last week, no better last week than this week. We're a lot more people there last week than this week. Grumble, grumble, grumble. It's the British way to grumble. It was a beautiful day the other day. It was a beautiful day. And I was at the gym and they were talking and like, what a beautiful day.
Well, it's going to rain tomorrow.
I'm like, this enjoy the day. Just be happy.
It's going to rain tomorrow. It's going to get cold tomorrow.
Did I say pray for me? Warning to older Christians. I really feel when I look at this parable, it's all about people who have been in the vineyard for a long time. That have borne the heat of the day. Who's been around maybe more than 10 years? Put your hand up. 10 years or more. Okay, this is for you. Everyone else, go to sleep. Take a nap. You know, snuggle up. And I'll wake you up later. Once fired up and grateful, got my denarius out of the waters of baptism. Jesus is Lord. I want to save the world. I want to give up everything, do everything, whatever we say. We agreed that the denarius was enough. We didn't expect nothing else. We were just thankful for the forgiveness of sins. It didn't promise an easy life. Some of us are still messed up because we have gone through the heat and we're still messed up. But we never prepped. You were never promised an easy path. You were never promised that. God has tested our motives. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? Is it really for Jesus? Do you still really want to give up everything? Go anywhere? Do anything for Christ? Is that still your heart? And God will constantly test you. Over and over and over again. Is salvation enough? Is still salvation enough? Is that it? Or is it salvation plus respect? Salvation plus, I want to be in leadership. Salvation plus fruit. Salvation plus riches. Salvation plus school. Salvation plus a career. Are you still fired up with just salvation? After a while, these workers complained against God and so lost their joy. A good barometer of people who have been around a while is their joy level. And when you say, are you happy, bro? Like, you still fired up?
Yeah. Jesus.
A lot of times we say, well, I'm worth more than a denarius. You just need to be happy that I'm around. You're happy that you're in my presence right now. Do you realize how long I've been around here? You realize what I've done in the kingdom of God? I think one of the things as we get older, ageism creeps into the church, where we feel that because I'm older, I'm a denarius plus. Plus my age. But when it comes to God's love, God's salvation, and God's Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, it is the same for everybody. I'm almost 46 years old. And it's so funny, people still look at me, especially if they're in the 50s and 60s, and say, you're young. If I was in the working world, as I would be in middle to upper management. But somehow you're still, weren't you Marvin that got baptized in like 90-something? Well, I've been around since the 80s. That's when we really, if you're in the 80s, denarius plus. Ageism can creep into the church. Heaven forbid it would happen with us. The world is about age, experience, and qualifications. How about injustices? It's not fair. You see, it wasn't fair. We thought we were going to get more money. And you only gave us the nearest, and we've been working a lot longer than these guys, and we should deserve more. That's so unfair. Especially here in England and also in America, you have this fairness doctrine. A lot of times we overcompensate because of minorities. We overcompensate because, you know, they're a different race or whatever, and we're so conscious that we've got to be fair to them. But God is fair. Amen. God is right.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't guarantee you a smooth ride. Amen? I want to touch on this. I know a lot, Tokes told me a lot of people are studying the Bible. It's a good thing.
Amen.
A lot of people want to get restored. And the reality is that one, if you come back or into the kingdom, it's not going to be easy. Now, at least you have the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and help you along, which is a good thing. You have the fellowship to help you along. But also, I think a lot of times we cannot underestimate the time that we have. Turn over to the scripture right here, 1 Peter. We're going to move along here. You with me? I can shout louder.
Well, this guy with a funny accent shouted at us for 30 minutes.
Good stuff. I love the Word of God. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. Actually, I grew up on the streets of Norwich. without going to church. Never actually, our household never had a Bible. Actually, the first time I really came to church was in Los Angeles. That's a long story, how I ended up there. But the first time I came to church is actually take my wife out of it, or my girlfriend at the time, to take her out of it. I was totally opposed. I used to persecute Christianity. You know, my wife, the girlfriend at the time, would come and say, well, you know, stop cursing. I would curse even more. I had no fear of God whatsoever. And it's just amazing to see God's grace. And that's the reason why I'm so happy with the denarius that I have, because I understand the God's grace in my life. And if you would have told me 20 years ago, Marvin, in a few years you'll be preaching the word of God, 20 years ago I probably cursed you out and kicked you down the street. You must have been out of your mind. But for me to be here, it's a miracle of God. And that's the reason why this denarius means so much to me today. In 1 Peter, It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffers and followers of their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And the reason why I put this, because one, the analogy of the vineyard is one day. As God has made it very clear that we're in the last days, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Okay? And if we're in the last days, then physically, spiritually, we're in the 11th hour. God is calling you into the vineyard because we are in the last days. I'll actually share a story. You remember the sister in Boston that got restored? And then got sick the next day. And by the way, this is on a Wednesday. And by the weekend, she died. It's funny. She got restored in front of the fellowship. She was, it was no sign of illness at all. What did she die of? Can you remember? But she was so excited. She was full of life. And then her health deteriorated. And I think by Saturday, she was dead. And I was so thankful and grateful to God that she was restored to God before she passed away. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you're considering, if you're studying the Bible or considering studying the Bible, understand we're in the last days and in the 11th hour. And the vineyard owner is calling you to work in his vineyard. Do not miss the opportunity. Let's move on. This is interesting. I like comparisons. Isn't this how you do at work? Your boss doesn't hire everybody. We go for a selection process. Am I right? Good. Am I right? Yeah. And we have a pay scale. We get paid by our hours. We get paid by experience, our education, our attitude. Sometimes an attitude is good in the corporate world. They love that competitive spirit. Where's the unction? Go out and knock them dead. Bring home the money. Where's your orders? It's very humanistic. You go on so many, you knock on so many doors, you're going to get so much business. I used to work in sales. I know that. If you knocked on X amount of doors, I used to sell cars. You also know if you took people on a test drive, I think it was like if you get at least 3 people in a test drive, you sell 1 car. That was the barometer. So it's very humanistic. If you do the numbers, it's going to happen. Let's look at the kingdom. In the kingdom, he wants everybody to work. There's no limit to how many people can work in the kingdom or in the vineyard of God. They all get the same. The denarius. Hours mean nothing. Don't matter if you're there 12 hours, 16 hours, or even one. You got paid. Experience means nothing. Well, I'm an expert in the vineyard. I've been picking grapes since I was a little boy. That was a little Texas accent right there. Boy. Don't matter. You can get a denarius. Education means nothing in the vineyard, in the kingdom of God. Gratitude. No grumbling in the kingdom of God. We've got to stop it. I think sometimes we create a culture of indifference, a culture, a grumbling culture.
The leaders, the past.
In the kingdom of God, there should be no grumbling. Can I get an amen? And the difference between the humanistic element of work in the world compared to the spiritual element, it's about love, salvation, and the Holy Spirit. It's equal to all. God doesn't love you any less or any more. God doesn't select. As long as you repent and baptize and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, He does not look at you any differently. And that Holy Spirit is given freely to all who repent and believe and are baptized into Jesus Christ. Look at this. This is back in 1991. It's my wife and I. We were dating at the time. My wife doesn't look any different. You can't really see it because I covered up the wrinkles. You know, I was kind of all that soft skin and kind of all smooth. That's me at my baptism. It's almost 20 years next month. It's kind of cool. That's me when I was fit. Let's move on with that one. But over 20 years, a lot has happened. We've had a lot of friends that have fallen away. Actually, I was even looking at our wedding photos, and everybody in our wedding party on the male side is no longer in the church. There's not one. Even my best man fell away. Intense, huh? There's been times when we were in the ministry that we had no food. My wife can't remember this, but I was the one who did the checkbook and everything, but we had no food, and it was so, we had no food. And it was totally a miracle. The sister out of the blue bought a plate of lasagna when we had no food. Unbelievable. We got laid off in the ministry when we were in Boston after how many years in the ministry? 10? 10 years in the ministry. This is a funny thing in the ministry. Just imagine coming home, both of you coming home on the same day, having jobs, coming home on the same day, and both of you getting laid off at the same time. That's what happened to us. We have a son with autism. We had our children while we were in the kingdom. And we have a son that has learning challenges. My wife has major health issues. This has all come about over the last 20 years. We've had injustices committed to us. And probably I've committed that on others too. I've had racism. It's funny, not having a black dad and a white mom, a lot of times you don't fit anywhere. Hearing comments, well, he's not really black. Kind of sounds white, but he's not black. And growing up where you have both sides of your family not even accepting you. When I was a child here in London, we lived in North London for a little bit. My grandparents came out when I was about one or two. She was so disgusted with the union, I didn't see them again until I was 11. Wow. That leaves a mark, doesn't it? I have my life threatened in the church by people in the church. They're no longer in the church. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Especially in Texas, they have guns there. Big guns. My wife is scared to leave the house. Scared to leave the house. The heat of the day. At times of discouragement. We all do. And it's so easy to just be shut down and go into self-survival mode. See, if we take the heat of the day the wrong way, we just shut down emotionally. And maybe that's where you're at right now. This is 20 years later. It's a poor picture, but this is actually just a few weeks ago. We went back to L.A., and actually that is the shoreline that we were baptized in. So 20 years later, we had Holland. I think our son took the photo, and it was kind of, nostalgic. Good word. Nostalgic. Thank you, honey. Give me my words. Nostalgic, just to be there 20 years later on the same place where we got baptized and to say we're still in this and that denarius still means the same as it did 20 years ago. I'm going to have my wife share just for a little bit. Give her a round of applause.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to share about the heat of the day from a woman's perspective. You know, we all go through that heat. And recently, of course, with this whole transition to move here and to go after trying to start a church in Norridge for God there, I definitely felt God's heat on me. It started last spring for me. And I remember just, you know, life was going great in the ministry. We had a fantastic ministry of about 300 people. We had staff and, you know, we had a great campus ministry and campus interns and sector leaders and just you name it. Amen. We had it. And it was a growing church. It was God's church. He was helping people to get restored, get baptized. It was very healthy. We had mature leadership. I mean, things couldn't be any better. On top of that, just the comfort level, just to be in the United States, of course, where I'm from, I grew up super poor. And so to have a home where we had in Texas, because there's a lot of land, it's very cheap to get a home. And so we had, I always joke about having a bunch of house for two pennies or two pence, as you would say here. You know, that's exactly it. We had a lot of house for two pennies. It was great. And so even living in my home, even every day almost, I'd wake up and look around the home and think, I can't believe I live here, you know, because I grew up poor. I only dreamt of having a decent home like this to raise a family and, you know, my kids comfortable and their school down the road and plenty of great friends. And we had just got out of debt finally, praise the Lord. So, you know, life was grand. There was no reason to throw it up in upheaval. Trust me. None. Who in their right mind would think, I know, I'll sell everything, possibly go into debt, and start a church. I'll uproot my family and their friends, and I'll have my children sell it all and have just a few of their belongings left because they're kids and they can handle it. Right? Who in their right mind would do that? Well, amen. I'm not in my right mind. I'm a fool for Christ.
Amen. Amen, sister.
Thank you. And so, you know, the Lord was definitely putting the heat on me. I felt his hand. I felt the Spirit saying, Charisse, you're too comfortable. And I couldn't believe I was getting that knock on the door from God. It started lightly at first. It's like, nah, he's not calling me to move. It's my cozy house. It's my cozy ministry, cozy friends. I'm out of debt. My kids are happy. No. He's knocking louder. I'm like, surely that knock isn't for me. It's got to be for someone else. He's banging, you know, and you just can't ignore it. And I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. And I feel like the question the Spirit was posing to me was, after 20 years in the faith, you're almost 40 years old, the time when you want to be just established and comfortable, you know, when you should be just all set up and so forth and so on, are you still willing to go anywhere, do anything, give up everything for God? And I had to remember my denarii and think, that's what I said 20 years ago. It still stands today. Even if my kids are 12 and 9, and that's a difficult time to make such a move. It's a bit easier when your kids are younger, babies, because they don't really know. Try when they definitely have their lovely mind of their own and opinion.
Yeah.
Not easy. Not easy. And so just to be able to have the faith through Christ, I'm grateful, because it certainly wasn't of my own volition. It was through the Spirit that enabled us to make the decision to give it all up, to leave it. You know, I think about just where we're at now. And, you know, even the little, I call it my cozy flat. You know, it's about the third the size of the home that we left. And things are really, you know, tight and confined. And pretty much all that we own has been given to us through the church. The brothers and sisters just donating things. We've got a few little things on our own to try to make it cozy and home-like. But, you know, it's been very liberating, even looking around and just thinking, wow, I left it all. And here I am, with just the basic necessities for God, and how good this is for me, for my family, for my children, even for them to understand the bigger picture, to truly see the whole picture of discipleship. Not just that they would watch their parents, you know, preach at service, lead Bible discussions, have meetings in the home, baptize, share our faith. They saw all those things, which are fantastic. But to see their family, their mom and dad, uproot us, sell it all, to go save souls because God said so. That's what I'm hoping in the right way will leave a mark, the right kind of mark. Hopefully the day that they decide to make Jesus Lord, because they will have seen it in us and they can count the cost and know that's what it requires. Will I do that for God? So I just want to thank you for allowing me to share. I say, keep the heat coming, Lord. Through your grace, I can withstand it.
Amen. Amen. All right. Just quickly go through some things. I think as we get older, a lot of times we can say we're too old. I'll be 46 this year. I tell you what, though, the first couple of months, I mean, I think the first month we were here, we stayed in five different places. Sleeping on futons, the kids were sleeping on floors. You know, it took us a while to get established. And now, honestly, I don't think I slept for like 6 weeks. I was so exhausted. I'm not the young 20-year-old that can sleep on couches, can, you know, I mean, do the things that you used to do. It's tough. A lot of times you say, we've done my time. Let me ask you a question. Are your stories old stories? Back in the 80s, back in the 90s, I was sacrificing for Jesus. But since you've had kids, has somehow your stories, grumbling starts, apathy starts kicking in? The younger people need to sacrifice now. I've done my time. Sometimes we feel that. Sometimes what we tend to do is throw money at situations. Throw money at the young kids. I'm sacrificing financially, but you go out and sell everything. You know what I'm talking about. We do that to the poor too. A lot of times we'll throw money at the poor, but we don't want to touch them. Touching the cord? That's for the singles in the campus. Focus on the family. But ultimately, it's not what is caught. Not what is taught is what is caught. What they see in your example. Actually, my wife and I had a long conversation the other day, and we're just concerned, you know, seeing the barometer where our kids are at spiritually. And, you know, we went back and forth, well, maybe they need more Bible teaching. And I said, hon, when it really comes down to it, it is our example. It's what is caught. ultimately, not what is taught. Well, you could teach whatever you want, but if they see hypocrisy in the home, it's going to destroy their faith. A lot of times we compare ourselves to others. Complacency and comfort, we talked about that. The suitcase challenge, have you heard of that? The one suitcase challenge. And a lot of times we're like, yeah, them kids need it. They don't have anything. They should put it in a backpack. They don't even have a suitcase. Get out there. A backpack is the thing. Yeah. What do you call them here? Rucksacks, I remember that. Satchels and stuff. Satchels? Way back? I'm dating myself. I'm 46 years old. Give me a break. Thank you, Mulligan. Someone understands me. Thank you. 45 years old, older kids, and 20 years in the faith. You can't even see this. It's actually a picture of a house. We had the couches and the table. You can't really see it. We had the dining area in the back there, the lampstands, and then afterwards it was all stripped out. We made this makeshift table, had this little couch that a campus student took, and this is our garage sale. It's our house in the back. We're selling everything. I love that dining room table. I said, eat on that table. And I don't know if you see this. This is all we had left, is these few suitcases. We literally crammed a four-bedroom house, sold everything, and just put it in some suitcases. This is us at Heathrow. This is suitcases in the background. This is our little London flat in East London. Last week, we had our first little pre-mission weekend. And Martin and Luena came on out. We were happy with them. And a couple from Glasgow came on out. That's actually in the background. You see the cathedral, the Norwich Cathedral. We're actually at a devotional. You go up on this hill and you can see the whole city. And what we're doing, I'll share a little bit. We're just asking anybody who's interested, or think they may be interested in the Norwich missions, we're going to have some weekends where you just come down and visit. But you got to go to Norwich. Norwich is Norwich. It's not London. You can't say, I want to go on without going to Norwich. Because you could drive through and blink and miss it. Oh, there it is. It's behind us. It's a quaint city. So if you're interested, you got to come on down. No missions unseen. No kind of stuff. This is my wife in the back of my dad's Volvo. 1973, I think that Volvo is. And we packed everybody in. My wife was in the back. It was fun. And she's happy too. I think that's your luggage there, isn't it, Martin? Is it the pink one? Oh, sorry. Okay, do it. Actually, I don't even see this. This is my mom and dad. This is my dad. And that's my mom, be right behind her. The pale one. That's my mom. It's kind of cool. That's our family. Kind of cool. After 20 years, we're still dreaming. We're still sacrificing. We're still loving the lost. We're still willing to go anywhere. Willing to give up everything. We're still willing to work in the vineyard. No matter what the heat is. To us, the denarius is still enough, and we're still grateful. You just keep these dates in your prayers. We've got the next pre-mission weekend. If you want to come and join us, May 20, 22nd. Also have a friends reunion on the 28th, where I have two friends, actually, through Facebook, actually. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen my friend in probably close to 20-odd years. And him and his partner, what do they call him now? Decided to put this reunion on for us. So it's kind of cool. So I'll be seeing people I haven't seen for like 30 years. It's pretty cool. And our last pre-mission, if you can't make the May 22nd one, come on the June, that'll be the last one. We'll be moving to Norwich in July this year. And the inaugural services, August 14th. You can clap. Kingdom summary. Those who are not in the kingdom, are you just standing around doing nothing in the marketplace? Is that you today? If you're not in the kingdom, you know you're not right with God, or you know you need to get restored, are you just standing around? No matter what you do, you're just standing around. God is calling you into his vineyard. We are in the last days. We are in the 11th hour. Don't feel that you have tomorrow. If you're visiting today, ask the person that brought you to study the Bible, to understand the kingdom of God, understand what the vineyard is all about. Those in the kingdom, what is your attitude about the kingdom today? Today. Has the heat got to you? Are you grumbling? Are you still grateful? Keep joyfully working in the kingdom of God. Oh, I wrote a book. All the proceeds from this book, it's all about really a personal narrative, personal story. I gave you a copy, didn't I? Free of charge. It's not free to them. Don't say that. Shh. And if you want to know more about the church, you can go to www.orchurch.org. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I'm in the back. Afterwards, if you want a book, I'm in the back. Thank you.
Thank you, Marvin. Let's give God a round of applause. Amen.